Someone stole my two chairs. In the beginning, we're told in the book of Genesis that God created the world. And he looked at this world and he said, it is very good. And then he decided to create man. And God created a man out of the dust of the earth. And a woman. And we're told that God came down in the garden. He had fellowship with them. It's probably hard for you to see, but I've got two chairs facing each other here. We should have a little stage. And so God and mankind were in relationship. But then the most disastrous thing happened that ever happened in the history of the world. Theologians call it the fall. Satan came along in the form of a serpent and he tempted Eve, first of all. Because God had said, you must not touch that one tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Otherwise you'll become like God. And of course we know the terrible consequences when she took that fruit and gave it to Adam. We're told that immediately God turned his face on mankind. And from that day on, mankind was separated from the Creator. But from that day on, God in his love has been pursuing people. And I don't have time this morning to go through all of the Old Testament, but first of all, God called a man by the name of Abraham. One man. And he said, you're going to be the father of a great nation. And I'm going to bless you, and through you all the nations of the earth are going to be blessed. God was trying to picture the fact that the nation of Israel would be a light to the nations, so much so that people would turn back to God and he would be able to again have fellowship with them. But the tragic story of the Old Testament is that over and over and over again, people rebelled against God's way and God had to reject them. There were a few people through the Old Testament period who were told that Abraham, for example, believed God. Even as an old man, when he couldn't have a baby, God said, you're going to have a son. I'm going to bless you. You're going to have a son and there's going to be a nation come from that son. And the Bible says that when Abraham believed God, God counted that belief of Abraham as righteousness. And the holy God, the righteous God, was able to have fellowship with this man Abraham because he had believed him. But largely, through the Old Testament, the people turned away. They became proud. They demanded a king. God had said, you don't ever need a king. I am your king. This is a theocracy and the living God is going to be in charge. But the people demanded a king. And so God gave them Saul. Saul turned out to be a bad king. And we know that after Saul came King David. And King David was a good man. And in fact, God said that he was a man after his own heart. In spite of the fact that David committed terrible sins in his life, largely his heart was towards God. And so God, in David, had a friend. And of course, as we study the Bible, we know that David became the great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so wrote all of the Psalms. And so many people who wrote the New Testament refer to David as a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. But in spite of all of this pursuit that God carried out through the Old Testament, mankind largely walked away from God. But thank God for Christmas. Amen. The ingenuity of our God is that he came up with a solution to the problem. And I've shared this a little bit over the past few weeks and it's become very precious to me again. As I have considered that God who is spirit, those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. But God's ingenious plan was to select one element that he did not share with humanity. And the Bible tells us that the Word became flesh. The Word became flesh. And as Michael said to me out the front this morning, we should put up a sign that the reason for the season is ... Easter! Thank you. I've said in the bulletin this morning, many people say the reason for the season is Jesus. That's true. But the reason for the season is you. The reason for the season is that Jesus left heaven, came into this world, died, lived, was born, a baby, raised as a teenager and a young man in Nazareth, carried out ministry for 3 years, calling 12 men to himself, ultimately went to Jerusalem and was hung on a cross between heaven and earth for you and me. Think about that. In his flesh, that one element that God didn't share with humanity, the Bible says Jesus took all the sin of the world, your sin and my sin. And the Bible says now people who put their trust in the Lord Jesus and receive his forgiveness, God can once again look on them. Because these people who have received the Lord Jesus as their Saviour, these people whom God has reached out in mercy and touched, are now covered, the Bible says, in the righteousness of Jesus. So God doesn't see us, he sees the Lord Jesus. And the Bible says that we are accepted in the Beloved. Now, of course, the sad thing is that much of humanity today is still turned away from God. I don't know the percentage. And the Bible says that one day Jesus is going to come back again. And on that day there's going to be a great judgment. And the book of Revelation talks about the fact that in that day God is going to separate the sheep from the goats. And we need to find out before that day whether we're a sheep or a goat, because after that day it will be too late, according to the scriptures. And on that day, there'll be a great separation. And mankind who rebelled and rejected the Lord Jesus will be separated from God forever. But thank God, in the last chapter of the book, in Revelation, in the last chapter, those who have put their trust in Jesus, the Bible says, they shall see his face. That's the goal of redemption. The goal of redemption for you and for me is that one day we are actually going to see the face of Jesus. Can you imagine that day? And so this morning, I've just given you the whole story of the Bible. I don't want to go to heaven and have any of you missing. I've been saying for years, I want to go to heaven and take with me as many as possible. But I can't take you to heaven. It's only if this morning you're here and you haven't trusted the Lord Jesus, I invite you this morning, you can actually receive the forgiveness that he is offering when he died on the cross. It's as simple as that. God made it so simple that even a child can believe. It doesn't mean that Christianity is an easy life. It's an easy thing to understand, but it's a big decision to commit our lives fully to the Lord Jesus. In fact, I want to say this morning that if you trust God for forgiveness and he becomes the manager of your life from this day on, you won't have an easy life. You go down to the Brisbane River when the tide's going out, the fish are trying to swim up against the tide, you know? But not many of them. It's easy to go along with the tide, and that's where most human beings are going, along with the tide. Because the Bible says that the way to destruction is a broad road. The way to heaven is a narrow road, and few there are who go on it. I'm on that road. Marilyn and Derek are on that road. Ken's on that road. Since July last year, this young man here is on that road. And Chris this year got onto that road. And many of you have got onto that road recently. But if you're not on that road yet, why don't you come and join us? What a great day to do it. On the day that we remember that Jesus became flesh. So I'm just going to pray very briefly and invite you in your own heart this morning. We've been singing about God's gift. The youth have led us beautifully. We've sung all the beautiful songs. Oh, come, let us adore him. Do you adore him? Do you worship him? Now, I hear all these songs out at Woolworths and I think, oh, do they know what they're hearing? You know, these beautiful songs full of theology. So do you know him this morning? If you're saying in your heart, I don't really know what you're talking about. Well, I just invite you, as I pray now, just pray very simply, and God will hear your prayer, and he'll receive you. The Bible says, as many as believed him, to them he gave the right or the authority to become the children of God. So the Son of Man, the Son of God, became the Son of Man so that you and I could become the sons of God or the children of God. Let's pray together. Just invite you to pray quietly under your breath. Something like this. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for this Christmas day. Thank you that 2,000 years ago you came to save me. I realize that I have lived independently of you, and I'm sorry. Thank you that you died on the cross to take away my sins. This morning I receive your forgiveness. And even though I don't understand everything, I ask you to be the manager of my life from this moment onwards. I really want to get to know you. Thank you for receiving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's just stay in an attitude of prayer. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you this morning that you are the God of love. You are the God who conceived this mighty plan to bring the people that you had created, the people who had rebelled against you, to bring them back into a relationship with yourself. And we thank you that you did that through the Lord Jesus Christ. It was you, the Creator, who became the Redeemer. And we thank you with all our hearts this morning. I thank you, Lord, that if there's anyone in this room who has just sincerely prayed that prayer, that already your Spirit is living within them and witnessing to their spirits that they belong to you. We praise you. And now, Lord, I just commit the rest of this day to you, that we will continue to remember as we are with family and having a happy time together, we'll remember that this is the day that Jesus came to earth. And we thank you with all of our hearts. Amen. Amen. Do we have one more song? Where's Jimmy?